When it comes to investing, retirement, taxes, healthcare, and estate planning, the decisions you make today can greatly affect the quality of life for you and your loved ones tomorrow. What you need is straight and unbiased information on the most important issues you'll face when planning for your retirement and financial future. Good news! You found the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout. Grant is the founder of Dorhout Retirement Services, and he's been guiding people financially and into retirement for nearly 20 years. So get ready for an hour of the most comprehensive financial information on the radio. It's time for the Retirement Blueprint. And now, here are your hosts, Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shea.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Welcome to the Retirement Blueprint, the show that gives you the straight talk and honest answers you need to reach your wealth management and retirement goals through smart investing and careful planning. On today's show, we're going to be talking about retirement income strategies, 18 ideas for lifetime wealth and retirement confidence. Also, 5 common retirement fears and how to overcome them, then why the solo years of retirement are the most critical and how to plan for them. My name's Jeff Shade, and as always, I'm just here to ask the questions for you. But of course, the words of wisdom and solid advice, they come from Grant Dorhout of Dorhout Retirement Services right here in Omaha. Hey, Grant, how you doing this fine Saturday morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Happy to be here with you. Happy that we're getting closer and closer to baseball season. We got less than 1 week until my son's first high school game this year, and I'm getting really excited for it. I'm going to be at quite a few games this spring and this summer.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Evan Dorhout. He's on the varsity team this year, huh?
That's what they tell me. We'll see how he does. He's a sophomore. I think it's going to be a good year for him. I'm excited to see how he can make that jump. It is going to be quite a jump from the JV squad up to varsity, but I think he's got it in him. I'm excited to go through it with him, quite frankly.
Well, competition seems to make you a little bit better, and Evan is a really strong guy. He's a good kid, and he's going to be pitching. He's going to be in the outfield. He's going to be doing it all. Sort of like the Ohtani, I guess, of his high school baseball team. So congratulations to Evan.
I don't know that.
You never know what's going to happen.
Hopefully.
Right. Most importantly, just have fun out there. It is baseball season. Of course, we're at March Madness coming up. We got a lot of things to look forward to, not the least of which is what we're going to be talking about on the radio show today. So, Grant, let's start off with our first topic, retirement income strategies, 18 ideas for lifetime wealth and a confident retirement. You know, we spent our whole lives working. We're spending the money that we earn and hopefully saving a little bit too. But when we retire, everything we've ever experienced about managing our finances gets turned upside down. We're no longer going to earn as much or any money from work, and we have to figure out how to make do and maximize what we already have. So let's talk about some practical plans, rules, and tips. And number one on our list of the retirement income strategies is creating buckets. We've got a near-term, a mid-term, and a long-term. So let's expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, this actually speaks to part of our peace and retirement process in terms of the protected income that we're looking to create for a retiree or a pre-retiree. Looking at how are we going to get through certain periods of time? Because if you break things down, think about it in everyone's life. If I think I'm 43 years old, can I predict the next 30 years? No, not really. I don't know what health events are going to happen. I don't know what type of stuff is going to happen for my kids in college. Which college are they going to be in 2, 3, 5, 6, 8 years from now? We don't really know those things. So it's very similar in retirement. When you start looking at, okay, if I got a 65-year-old, okay, I'm going to try and create an income plan all the way to age 100. Well, how do I predict specifically what's going to happen at age 95? We don't know that, but what I do know is this near term in the next 2 years. If I create an income plan where I have that first bucket that's going to create this amount of income for this person plus inflation during that time frame, that's relatively easy for us to predict. And we can control things in those ways. And then you start looking, okay, 0 to 2 years, I got my income plan, or 0 to 5, or 0 to 10. I have a specific amount of income that is coming out in a reliable way that no matter what happens in the stock market, I know I have income for that time frame. And then you just layer on the next bucket for income, and then the next bucket, and so on and so forth. Even my dad, he's 83 years old. We have certain amount of money that he actually placed in the stock market this past week in a specific way to achieve a specific goal that he had in terms of generating a certain amount of yield inside of his portfolio. Completely appropriate to do that even at 83 years old, have a certain amount of market risk that you need to achieve that inflation protection that we need to have inside of our portfolio as well. So looking at near term 0 to 2, midterm 3 to 5, or 3 to 10 even, and then long term 10 plus, when you start getting there, it becomes very easy to start fitting your retirement portfolio and income plan together when you have a very targeted goal for each dollar that's out there.
Grant, as far as these buckets goes, let's talk about the investments that go into these buckets. Now, with your near-term bucket, because it's only 2 to 5 years, would you suggest cash and cash equivalents would be the only thing that goes into that bucket?
Yeah, so if you're looking at a 0 to 2 year, you're looking at more of your emergency funds that you're going to have or income that needs to be generated. So you can actually cross these over into each other a little bit, meaning that the money that you're not utilizing for income, that's going to be more of your emergency funds or a car fund or a vacation fund, those things that you're going to keep in the bank in all likelihood. In terms of a retirement income, if I'm looking 0 to 2 or 0 to 10 years, those you're going to be looking more like your annuity type payments that you're getting from your investments or your dividend payments that you're going to be getting, or the yield that you're going to generate off of a money market, or the yield that you're going to generate from a ETF portfolio or stock portfolio. Certain dividends that are going to be paying out that can be fitting into both of those, but you have to be very targeted in how you're going to allocate these funds. 0 to 2 years, very much so. That's going to be your cash, cash equivalents, money market accounts, checking, savings, those types of things.
So it sounds like the short-term bucket is going to be more liquid investments. Mid-term bucket, I would imagine that you're going to have more of a mixed investment strategy there. Things like bonds and CDs, mutual funds, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I would look more like, if you're looking 3 to 5 years, I would start fitting in more something like a structured note inside of there. We'll utilize banks to generate a certain amount of more predictable yield that we can have. And then actually, even in the stock market, if you look at following the S&P 500, for instance, it's just an example. I've seen plenty of them that they follow the S&P. And if the S&P is down over the time frame, it'll provide a certain level of barrier to that downside, or even buffer to the downside on the market, so that people don't have the fear of such significant loss. And then if the market goes up over that specified time frame, whether it be 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, if you're looking at a structured note over that time, it can actually have enhanced participation in what the upside of the market does. So I would look more in that realm for that midterm, that 3 to 5 year. I'd like to look at a structured note with certain banks that we can utilize.
And that long-term bucket, of course, can be more heavily invested in things like bonds and stocks, things that the retiree won't have to touch for at least 10 years. So number one is the bucket strategy for retirement income strategies. And number two would be separating needs and wants. This is something I think a lot of people get confused about, separating those two.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be really honest with yourself about what you really need and what you really want. And certain things and certain parts of this is just disciplines that some people have and some people don't. For instance, I'll just look at my kids and just give an example around them, and then people can determine which way they would be. My oldest son, he loves to make money. He's been working hard. He also likes really nice things. He likes to buy his girlfriend flowers regularly. He likes to have really nice sunglasses when he plays baseball. He likes to have these nice arm sleeves when he's playing baseball. He likes to have the really nice things. He makes a decent amount of money. If all of a sudden we limited how much income he would have, he would have to make some cuts, because he has a lot of things that he just wants. He doesn't need this specific arm sleeve. He doesn't need these specific batting gloves. He could do with different ones. Those are things that he wants. The things that he does need, he needs a bat. He doesn't need these specific Oakley sunglasses in the outfield, but he wants them. My son Hunter, for instance, he would be more along the lines of, you know what? There's not a lot of things that he's going to get other than Converse shoes that are like, hey, this is what I want. I'm going to get just what I need. And so those specific little personality differences that they have can direct them into needs and wants easier for Hunter than it would for Evan. So someone out there that's listening to this, if you're thinking, you know what, I actually need to buy a scratch-off ticket every single week because that's part of my happiness, I would say that's a want. But there are certain things that you need to have in your life, certain social interactions just for your mental health. I typically meet up with several friends at the end of the week on Friday afternoon for happy hour. That to me, for a mental health, just a unwind at the end of the week, that's more of a need in my life at this point. But certain things outside of that, around that activity, are not needed. And I can easily separate the two. If I need to do so, if I don't need to, well, then I can do what I need and what I want to. But looking at retirees, separating out the needs and wants can be problematic. But if you start being honest with yourself, really, what do you need? Yes, you need clothing. Yes, you need food. Yes, you need shelter. Yes, you need electricity, those things. But needs go far beyond that. And creating a retirement income, we help people all the time formulate, okay, what is really needed in your life to make this a really fun time in your life going through retirement rather than a burdensome one.
Right. And I think that your income for your retirement spending need should come from secure income sources, while money earmarked for your wants can have more risk associated with it. We're talking with Grant Dorhout here at Dorhout Retirement Services, and we're talking about retirement income strategies. And we've talked about separating needs from wants, and we've also talked about creating buckets. Next one on the list here is going to be systematic withdrawals and fixed percentage withdrawals.
Yeah, because a lot of times people will utilize the 4% rule.
Right.
The 4% rule is okay, but it's not the end all be all. The issue that I have with the 4% rule, it almost allows people to become complacent in terms of their retirement planning. This is the way that I see it. The 4% rule at its heart basically says, hey, you retire with $1 million, you keep your money invested in the market, you're going to make more than 4% over time, right? That's what we know is going to happen over the next 20, 30 years. We know that the market's going to make more than 4%. So if it's going to average 7, just as an example, and we take out 4, we should be okay. And that's true if we have the right sequence of returns to support keeping all of that money in the market. If the market experiences a downturn or a lost decade like 2000 to 2010, the 4% rule can be very problematic and really hurt people. So if you're going to do a 4% rule or a systematic rule in terms of your withdrawal strategy in retirement, there's nothing wrong with that. I would still recommend taking it from a more reliable source. If you're looking at something that has a floor underneath what its loss potential is, if it's a zero loss floor, well, then how much yield or how much income generation can I actually get from it? Can I support a 4% withdrawal rate? For instance, if I have an annuity that is going to pay out 4% on average, well, yes, I know that I can support that 4% withdrawal rate because it's being credited at 4%. It's not very hard to figure out. If I need $40,000, someone would put $1 million in something like that. They could pull out $40,000 per year if they wanted to. I'm not saying they have to put the full $1 million in there. That's just as a basic example, utilizing that type of interest rate from an annuity, from a certain online savings or a money market account. You could do it from all of those sources, or you could get a high dividend paying portfolio that might pay 4 or 5 or 6 or 7% that can help you generate that yield in a more reliable way than just leaving it in your mutual funds.
If you're listening to the program this morning, you're thinking to yourself, I wonder if I've got the right retirement income strategy. You're not sure that your plan is set up the way that it should be for a retirement that could last 30 years? Got some good news for you. You can give Grant a call here at Dorhout Retirement Services and request your no-cost and your no-obligation, no-judgment Peace in Retirement Blueprint, an opportunity for you to sit down with Grant, ask the questions that you need answers to create a retirement that could last 30-plus years. Now, that telephone number to call, 402-281-0750. You can do it right now if you want, 402-281-0750. When you call, leave your information. I know that it is the weekend. All you've got to do is leave your name and your telephone number. Lisa will give you a call back in the next business day, gather some very basic information from you, and set you up with a conversation with Grant to talk about your particular needs. Every retirement plan at Dorhout Retirement Services is created specifically for you. There's no cookie-cutter approaches here. Once again, that telephone number, 402-281-0750, or request your complimentary consultation online at dorhoutretirementservices.com. That's D-O-R-H-O-U-T, retirementservices.com.
Want more strategies to support the quality of life you want for 30-plus years? Stick around. There's more Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout in just a moment. You can't start a trip you've never taken without a plan, and you can't start your retirement journey without a comprehensive plan to get there safely. To request your no-cost, no-obligation Dorhaut Retirement Roadmap, call 402-281-0750 or request it online at dorhautretirementservices.com. Now, back to more of Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhaut and Jeff Shade.
Thank you so much for making us a part of your weekend. You're listening to the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhaut. My name is Jeff Shade. Once again, if you got questions or comments about the program, you'd like to talk to Grant about getting in and having a conversation, 402-281-0750 is the number to call, 402-281-0750. You can also find out more about us online at DorhautRetirementServices.com. That's DorhautRetirementServices.com. We've been talking about retirement income strategies, and we've talked about the bucket strategy, separating wants from needs, also systematic withdrawals. The next one, Grant, is about building guardrails so your bowling ball doesn't go into the gutter too much.
I'm glad you said the bowling ball part, because I was actually going to go right down that lane, if you will.
Okay.
I like to think of it this way, that my kids, you know, when we've bowled with them over the years, when they're younger, you know, we would put those guardrails up there. And I think of this same thing with your portfolio, giving yourself a safety net that you don't have to worry about getting a zero. You don't have to worry about getting into an area that's going to be detrimental. And that would be the proverbial gutter when you're going bowling. So if you think about a traditional 60-40 stock bond split, I would make a modification to that. It might be 60-40, it might be 50-50. I don't know what the number is, depends on what the spending need is, where you separate it out, and let's say it is a 60-40 split. I'm gonna take 60% and we'll go in equities, and the other 40%, instead of going into a bond type portfolio, we can look at something with a higher safety net, that is looking at an annuity. That's gonna create an income stream, and you can do that for a predictable period of time. You do not have to annuitize or pay fees in order to do it this way. What you can do is you take out the exact amount that someone needs over a specified period of time, and that 40% that is actually in the reliable income stream, you might be able to take 5, 6, 7, 8%, even 10% out of that side to satisfy the income. And when you do it in this way, Jeff, what's beautiful is we can take a totally different risk in the market. Because if we have a reliable income stream that's provided for the next 10 years, for instance, well, we don't have to worry about the fluctuations that go on a daily basis in the stock market. And it produces that peace in retirement that we talk about so often.
And Grant, the next retirement income strategy deals with unpredictability, going the annuity route. I mean, that could be an option for our listeners in some cases.
Yeah, it has to be the right fit, though. I was talking with someone just this past week when we were talking about annuities. He came in and he said, I got this annuity and I have to get out of it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, why do you need to get out of it? And he said, well, it's got 3.5% interest and it's for 10 years. And I said, okay, well, let's look at what's inside of it. Let's discuss what an annuity is and what an annuity isn't. And for him, he was sold this annuity about a year ago, and there was no strategy behind it. There was no actual reason behind it. It was only because the person that he was meeting with, who's no longer with the firm that he purchased it through, she wanted him to buy this annuity for whatever reason. He said, okay. Well, there is no targeted utilization of the annuity. What is an annuity? It is a product that gives some safeguards in terms of what market loss can happen to those particular assets. And it is an income creator. That's really what it is designed for. It is not designed to shoot the moon and make a ton of money. If you're looking for something to make 10% annually, this is not your product. It's just not. What this is utilized for is to create, just like I was talking about in the last part, was if we have a 60-40 split, if I have 40% in that type of an annuity, I can avoid the unpredictability of the stock market. It can create more of that peace in retirement we keep talking about.
We're talking about retirement income strategies with Grant Dorhaut here of Dorhaut Retirement Services. Once again, our telephone number for questions, 402-281-0750, 402-281-0750. Dorhaut Retirement Services right here in Omaha. The next one, Grant, deals with assessing risk tolerance and needs.
Yeah, risk tolerance, this is a simple one. When I talk about that 60-40 split, if I look at the risk side and if I look at the annuity side, if I'm looking at those two, if I tell someone, hey, we can do this with 60% of your money in the market and 40% of your money outside of the stock market, if someone says, you know what, I would like to have a little bit more that's protected, a little bit more that is not able to fluctuate up and down with the market, can we make 60% on this other side and the annuity side and 40% in the market? As long as it satisfies the need for inflationary protection, You can do that, but you have to assess that risk tolerance after you figure out how much you need to create the income.
And another retirement income strategy I think that's super, super important is in the beginning when you're making those Social Security decisions is to pick the right choice for you. I understand there are about 200 different ways you can take Social Security. There are Social Security optimization programs, but mostly I think those are used as sales tools. So how do you evaluate the Social Security conundrum?
Yeah, so a lot of people will think I'm going to max out my Social Security, which just means that they're not going to take Social Security until they're 70 years of age. But you can take Social Security at 62 if appropriate. It depends on if you're working or what type of retirement income you have outside of Social Security, if there's pensions, if it's just going to be from IRAs, or if you have tax-free income. All of those things are going to play into when it makes sense the most. Some people, it might be 65. Some people, it might be 67. But looking at what is going to maximize your retirement and what's going to maximize how much perceived security that you can actually generate in your overall portfolio, it's not necessarily maximizing Social Security, it's maximizing your retirement income as a whole.
And Grant, the next retirement income strategy I think that's pretty interesting is thinking outside of the box. And when I think about investment tools, I think about stocks, bonds, and annuities, maybe a little bit of real estate. But beyond that, there are a lot of other ways that you can put your money to work in terms of investments. What are some of the examples of thinking outside of the box?
Thinking outside the box is a big one that a lot of like real estate investors may want to consider is something like a Delaware statutory trust that you could utilize, that you could do 1031 exchanges and not pay tax on all of that money right now. There's other trusts that you can transfer assets into, highly appreciated assets, sell them off, not generate an immediate tax bill, and then better diversify those highly appreciated assets. I've already talked about structured notes as an alternative as well. We love to utilize structured notes in a certain way as well, whether it be generating income or generating growth opportunities. All of those are great ways that you can think outside the box.
We're talking about retirement income strategies with Grant Dorhout of Dorhout Retirement Services. And Grant, the next one is to simply spend safely in retirement, which is a pretty sound strategy.
Yeah, this one's pretty straightforward in terms of where you're getting your income. You just want it to be from more of a reliable source. When you're having this income coming out, you don't want it to be from a fluctuating asset that could really throw you for a loop. For instance, BP back in the day, people loved that stock. It had a great dividend and it was a fabulous appreciating stock. And then all of a sudden they had an oil spill, canceled the dividend, and the stock price went down. Those types of things, you want to do as much as you can to limit that type of risk in retirement as possible. And spending safely is just allocating assets to things that aren't going to have something like that happen to you.
And the next one, Grant, is anticipating spending shifts. I mean, you don't spend the same amount in retirement for all the phases of retirement, do you?
No, not at all. My parents are in this, looking like they're in the slow-go years. I've talked about it for years. You got your go-go years. When you get 65, 67, you want to go. You want to do everything. You want to travel. You want to go out with friends. You want to take your kids and your grandkids out. You want to be at every single one of your grandkids' games. You're doing all of those things right out the gate. And then you hit this slow go where, you know what, maybe I don't want to go to Arizona this year. My parents hit that this year. I've said that on this show. And then eventually we hit the no-go years where either our desire is completely gone for doing things, or our health is limiting us from being able to do this. So you can actually front load some of your retirement income in anticipation that, hey, I want to do these things while I have the health, while I have the money. And then later on, we know that we're not going to need those things. And then you can adjust accordingly.
The next one, Grant, has to do with your home. And for many people, I mean, they've used their home as a piggy bank for many years. There's some hidden income in that home. So let's talk about how we can get that income out.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways that you could do it. Home equity line of credit you could utilize for certain expenses, for certain retirement expenses that you're going to encounter. I would only suggest that for a short term, though, if you're going to access those funds, and be very mindful of what the interest rate is and what your overall tax situation is. Something that there's a lot of commercials going on out there is a reverse mortgage. This is an option for certain individuals. I have never recommended one. I've never said, hey, yes, you absolutely need to utilize a reverse mortgage, but that could be a viable option. And you have to weigh out all of the options before you determine which is the best route to go. But yeah, for most people, their largest asset is actually their home. So tapping into that for retirement income could be a possibility for people.
Let's wrap up this segment on retirement income strategies, Grant, with talking about laddering up. There's a thing called laddering investments. Tell me more about that.
So we talked about that a little bit earlier in this segment, where when you're looking at 0 to 2, 3 to 5, 5 to 10, and then 10 years plus, what you're going to do is, let's say I have my income inside of that 0 to 2 year period, that's going to be very conservatively invested. It may be in the bank, it may be conservative bond portfolio, it may be annuities, whatever it may be, that's what you're going to utilize in that first 2 years. You're looking at 3 to 5 years, you're going to invest that more moderately. So you're going to have a certain amount of stocks and bonds that are inside of this portfolio. It's not super risky. You know, if the stock market goes up 20%, you're not going to go up 20%. You might be in the low teens or maybe even a little bit less than that. And the money that is looking at 5 to 10 years, you're looking at, okay, I'm going to take additional risk. I'm looking at more growth type mutual funds or stocks or ETF portfolios, where the market goes up 20%, you might gain 15, 16%, something like that. And then if you look 10 years plus, you're going to invest that more aggressively. And so if the market goes up 20%, there's a reasonable expectation that you're going to hit somewhere around 20%. Looking at laddering, it's just looking at basic, okay, needs and looking at how many years. And then each year you just pull certain assets into the next bucket down. And it's a reliable way that you can actually create a retirement portfolio by saying, I don't need this money for 3 to 5 years. So I'm not going to expect that money to fluctuate like money I'm going to need in 3 to 5 years. I'm going to invest it appropriately for the right times.
And Grant, I think one of the best and the easiest steps that you can take in figuring out retirement income is to create a detailed investment plan. We like to call it the retirement blueprint. Start by assessing what you have, figure out exactly what you need and what you'd like to spend, and then create a retirement income plan to support your spending needs. Get that plan. We call it the retirement blueprint. If you're not sure that you're on the right track towards a confident retirement, we invite you to give us a call here at Dorhout Retirement Services and request your no-cost, no-obligation Peace in Retirement Blueprint. That number to call, 402-281-0750. No cost, no obligation for this retirement blueprint. You can call it this weekend. Phone lines are open. Leave your information. Lisa will give you a call back on Monday. Set you up with an appointment with Grant to have that conversation. 402-281-0750. You can also request your plan online at DorhoutRetirementServices.com. D-O-R-H-O-U-T, RetirementServices.com.
Want more talk about sustaining your wealth and thriving in a retirement that could last 30 plus years? Stay tuned for more Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout after this. Ready to climb a mountain of financial know-how? Good, because it's time for more Retirement Blueprint with your financial Sherpas, Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shea.
We so much appreciate you joining us here for the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout here on News Talk 1290 COIL. We're here for you each week for your fiscal fitness and your financial education at 11 o'clock every Saturday morning. Once again, you've got questions about the show, you've got comments, things you'd like us to talk about, 402-281-0750 is the number to call, 402-281-0750. Also, use that number to get in and sit down with Grant and have a conversation about your retirement journey. And the fellow that you're hearing on the radio today, Grant, is the fellow that you're going to be talking to. And also, you don't have to wait weeks and weeks to get in and see us. We probably have an appointment within the next week or so. Once again, that number, 402-281-0750. We've had a great conversation earlier in the program today, Grant, about a number of things. I'll remind our listeners that if they have missed any part of the program today and they want to hear it all over again, we're also a podcast. Go to wherever you get your podcast, search for The Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout. You'll find this show and all of our others so that you can stay on top of your journey towards retirement. In this section, Grant, I want to talk about 5 common retirement fears and how to overcome them. I think the first fear, Grant, and probably it's the biggest, is running out of money. So how can we avoid running out of money? Is it at all possible?
Yeah, that's a big one. I find people coming in with that all the time. If we do a dinner event or if we do a public event, and people coming in, they don't know where their paycheck is going to come from for the rest of their life. Because let's face it, when you get to retirement, you've never gone through it before, so you don't really know what to expect. You've just gone all these years putting money into your 401k or into your investments, and well, hey, you know what? You just didn't spend all of what you made and you built up this nest egg. Well, now how do I get this out? This is where that big shift many years ago, back in 1981, from the defined benefit plan of your pension plans all of a sudden changed over to the 401k. Now we have defined contribution plans where people were going to put money into their 401k and their employer is going to put a certain amount into the 401k. And then all of a sudden you get to retirement and the employer has done their part. Now it's up to you to figure out how to get it out. And making sure that you don't run out of money means that basically you have to recreate what we had back in the 70s and early 80s. And there are some people that have pensions today, but it's a decreasing number of people. I'd like to think of it, if someone has $1 million, Jeff, but they knew that they had their income from a pension for the rest of their life, would that give them any level of security? I think it probably would. So what we do is we actually try and recreate that for people in giving them that same sense that having a pension had back in the day, they can still achieve that. They just have to make a couple of additional steps and just recreate it on their own. That's what we specialize in.
And I think running out of money, too, I think that is not a one-fits-all situation. What I mean by that, Grant, is that it's sort of a moving target. Your health changes, all sorts of things change that can affect your running out of money. And if you can adapt and react to those changes and maybe be proactive about them, too, there's a much greater chance that you will not run out of money. Next retirement challenge here is going to be navigating health insurance. And I think for a lot of folks, that's probably right under running out of money.
Absolutely. Two of the biggest expenses people are going to experience in retirement is going to be taxes and healthcare. And depending on how you're actually set up, your health insurance, you know, from Medicare standpoint, could be the least of your worries. It may be a long-term care event.
Right.
And when I look at this health insurance, Medicare, I can make this relatively simple for people, just looking at the four different parts, Part A, B, C, and D of Medicare. And how do we cover what our potential out-of-pocket is? And what are our premiums? Those types of things. Planning for that is actually relatively simple, and we can do that for people, helping them with their prescription drug plans as well. We do that every single year between October 15 and December 7 as well. But navigating what is a bigger concern is the long-term care event, looking at what am I going to do if I have an assisted living or home health care or adult daycare, community care, if it's full-blown nursing care. If I have an individual actually that turns 65, they have a 70% chance, right about a 70% chance of utilizing long-term care in some way, shape, or form. And if you look at the average cost of assisted living, I think we're right around $60,000 per year right now. Same with home health care. So how are we going to pay for these things? What bucket of money is going to be set aside? And what enhancements can you make to those assets in order to make sure that they pay for a longer period of time? Because if we have a long-term care event of $60,000 per year or $120,000 per year, doesn't take long to go through $250,000, and you have to factor in what bucket's going to pay for it.
Yeah, and paying for long-term care is a very big consideration. Basically, there are just a few ways to do it. One is just write the check out of the hip pocket. Most people are not plumb to do that because of the expense. Another would be if you are a veteran, there's a thing called aid and attendance, which will reimburse you for long-term care expenses, but you have to meet certain qualifications to do that. There are long-term care policies that you can buy, but many times those long-term care policies are not the answer either because they do go up in terms of premiums as you get older.
You're 100% right. For years, I've tried to not do a traditional long-term care just because of the unpredictability of it. I like to utilize what I say is an asset-based long-term care where you have a lump sum of money that could get certain enhancements for your long-term care. That way, if you live long enough to utilize it, it's going to be there to pay for some of those costs or maybe even all of those costs, depending on how much coverage there is inside of this plan. If you pass away, there's a death benefit that's tax-free to your beneficiaries. And if you want to quit later on, maybe 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road, I don't know why someone would do that once they set it up, but there's all kinds of circumstances we don't know are going to happen in 15 years. If someone wants to pull all their money out, they can go ahead and pull it out. No harm, no foul. I like to have the live, die, or quit option to where there's going to be a benefit for people rather than if we pay for a long-term care on a monthly basis for the next 10 years, if we pass away peacefully in our sleep, like we all hope happens to us. If that happens, there's not going to be a waste when we utilize the asset-based long-term care the way I like to use it versus the long-term care policies of the past that used to be more popular. There's just too much uncertainty inside of them for me to say, you know what, that's the only option. I love the asset-based long-term care though.
We're talking about five common retirement fears and how to overcome them with Grant Dorhout of Dorhout Retirement Services. Next one is transitioning from savings to income. That's an interesting one because we've spent maybe 40 years accumulating savings and, you know, people will come to you and say, Grant, here's all the money that I have. Is it a 401k or an IRA? That is just not a simple task, is it?
No, it's not. Absolutely not. Because like I said earlier, is if you're at work and let's say someone's making $100,000 per year and their employer is matching up to 6% of their retirement savings going into a 401k. Well, okay, if I put $6,000 in, my employer's going to put $6,000 in. I get free money right off the bat. I do that and I invest it however I want to inside of the 401k. And I just kind of set it and forget it and do that for the next 35, 40 years. You're going to build up a pretty good amount of money if you set it and forget it. But then looking at those funds, well, if you set it and forget it, and then you just transition into an income off of those funds, that 4% rule that we talked about earlier could be very, very detrimental. So you have to transition from how you're investing these funds. You have to look at it in a totally different way. How am I going to create a predictable income that's going to look more like a pension of the past? What is that going to be? Is that going to be just keeping it inside of my 401k and then calling Principal or Prudential or whoever I have my 401k with, calling them up and saying, hey, I got $1 million in there. Can you send me $40,000, but do it monthly? By the way, could we make that reliable for the rest of my life? Well, that doesn't exist inside of the 401k. So that transition from saving, that's very simple. I just put my head down, I go to work, I just put the amount in that I'm going to get the max match from, and then I'm going to build up a bunch of money. Making it last for the rest of your life when we don't know how long the rest of your life is a little bit different task than that sequence of returns risk that people take on. If they just say, hey, you know what, 401k, just send me $40,000 per year. That's a huge risk that we can mitigate with the proper planning that we do in looking at creating a specific protected income plan.
And our final fear of retirement has to do with just lifestyle, Grant. Managing new family dynamics, interacting with the people around you, and just battling boredom. I mean, for 40 years, you've gone to work every day. You were gone 8, 9, 10 hours a day. All of a sudden, you're at home most of the time, and you're looking around going, who are these people, and why are they here during the day? I think really understanding what you want to do in retirement is so very important in recreating that family dynamic.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I've seen it over the years. I mean, the first time that I went into an agency that I utilized back in Sioux Falls when I lived there, this is about 18 years ago now. I went in there and there was a lady that she had white hair and she was in the investment world. She was selling insurance. She was doing certain things with Medicare supplements and everything. And I asked one of the partners there, I asked him, what's the story there? Because I see her husband with her. Does he work with her? And he said, no, absolutely not. What actually happened was she was retired for years and then her husband retired and he came home and then they were always there together. And she said, well, that ain't going to work. We can't just look at each other all day and I can't handle being with you 100% of the day. So she went and got her licenses and she started selling Medicare supplements and helping people in that way. And her husband would drive her to her different appointments. He would sit in the car and do crossword puzzles while she would do her appointments. And that way they had a nice family dynamic for them. Other people, they can hang out the entire day and they can do things together. But I would say that you probably have to have a better balance than that. Although you love your spouse, you probably shouldn't spend 100% of every day just doing things with them. So having that balance and what's right for you and having that all set up, that's a great place to start.
We've been talking about some of the common retirement fears with Grant Dorhout of Dorhout Retirement Services. You know, it's natural to feel fearful about the unknown. Retirement is an unknown, and while it can be accompanied by excitement, there's also some uncertainty. And by taking control, though, you can transform retirement from a fearful unknown into an exciting new chapter full of possibilities. So if you're not sure about your retirement, you've got some fears about that, you want to quell those fears a little bit, I would suggest the first step that you take is to call Grant here at Dorhout Retirement Services. Sit down with Grant, have a conversation, and get yourself on a path towards a confident retirement. You can make that call today, no cost, no obligation, for this consultation with Grant. That number to call, 402-281-0750. 402-281-0750. Phone line is open right now. All you've got to do is call, leave your name, your telephone number. Lisa will give you a call back in the next business day, set up an appointment for you to speak with Grant and talk about your fears in retirement. And I think to quell those fears, what you need is a plan. Once again, again, there's no cost for this, absolutely no obligation. Grant's not going to try to sell you a product. He's just going to listen to you and go from there. Once again, that telephone number, 402-281-0750. If you got a plan from someplace else, why not get a second opinion? 402-281-0750 for your complimentary retirement blueprint. You can also request it online at DorhoutRetirementServices.com. That's D-O-R-H-O-U-T, RetirementServices.com.
Want more straight talk and honest answers about your wealth management and retirement journey? Stay with us. There's more Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout here. We're back with more strategies for a successful retirement. This is the Retirement Blueprint. Once again, here's Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shea.
We so appreciate you joining us here for the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout here at News Talk 1290 COIL. We're here for you every week for your fiscal fitness and your financial education. Once again, here's that important telephone number, 402-281-0750, 402-281-0750. You've got questions or comments about the show, or you want to get in and sit down with Grant and have your confidential conversation. We call it the Retirement Blueprint. Once again, no cost, no obligation, and no judgment for that. Okay, Grant, in this part of the program, I want to talk about something that's almost an inevitability for a lot of people, and that is that two clients sometimes become one because one spouse passes away. What are some of the things that we want to consider when one spouse passes away? Or I think really, when you do retirement planning, you're really planning for the surviving spouse.
Oh yeah, absolutely you are. And part of it is protecting that surviving spouse, whichever one it is. It doesn't matter if it's the husband or the wife, is making sure that you're not having them make significant decisions until you know they're past that grieving period. Actually, in the last year, I think we had four or five spouses pass away. And then the surviving spouse contacted me. And, you know, obviously we discuss what we absolutely have to do. And I tell them very specifically, we're not going to make any long-term decisions for probably 3 to 6 months. That's somewhere in there. There are certain things that we absolutely have to do right now that we have to just get some titling done and things like that. But until they're past that grieving process, you don't want to make significant decisions. So that's the first thing, is make sure that you're taking it slowly. Make sure that you're not making decisions. I've seen it in the past where people were asked to make very hasty decisions at the improper time, and you just shouldn't do that. You have to know that there's one Social Security that's going to end. So how are you going to fill that gap? Or does it need to be filled? Does the surviving spouse actually have as high of a spend habit as what the spouse was that passed away? And so, you know, for instance, my wife, she doesn't golf, but I golf. Well, that's a huge thing in the summer. Those expenses that I will incur for golf that she wouldn't actually have to plan for, she's going to spend money in different ways than I would. So planning for a specific income going away is a huge thing. You also have to plan for, what if they have a pension? My brother, he's retiring actually this month. He's about a week away now from retiring. He's in his mid-50s. He's been a police officer for over 30 years. He was in the military. He's going to have a pension that we're setting it up that, okay, if that pension goes away, how are we going to cover it up on the back end? And we got to know, how are we going to actually recreate that pension? I just did this for another one of my clients, that his government pension went away when he passed away, and the surviving spouse, his wife Elaine, we have to recreate that for him because her income need is going to be right there where she does need that particular pension payment. We just have to do it in a little bit different way. So you have to know that these first two things, Social Security and your pension or annuity payment, if there is a life-only payout on an annuity, those things could go away. So how are we going to fill that gap for the surviving spouse right off the bat?
So right away, people's income may be cut in half, sometimes a little more than half, sometimes a little less than half, because of course, when someone passes away, Social Security check, I mean, the higher goes to the surviving spouse, but still there's going to be a reduction in income. So your income may and more than likely is going to be reduced, but many times your spending at least stays the same. Sometimes it may even go up. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. I think about my parents. My dad's 83, but he still jumps on the mower every single week. He still takes care of a lot of the lawn care and things that my mom, I don't know if I've ever seen my mom on a mower, and that's nothing against what she does. It's just not her thing. Well, I don't know that in her mid 80s now is the time that we get her to get on the tractor mower and start taking care of those things. So she would have to incur an immediate expense of someone else taking care of the lawn. That's just one example. But, you know, even in my mom's case, hanging up Christmas lights and certain things like that that my dad predominantly has done. If my dad was gone, well, my mom is going to need someone else to do those things. You know, my mom, she's great at cleaning houses. My dad, he's vacuumed a little bit, but he's not great at cleaning the house. That's just not his deal. So if my mom was gone, he would have to hire someone to clean the house and certain different activities that they're going to need to duplicate how things were happening prior to the other spouse passing away. Your expenses probably will increase just from upkeep of the home, but also certain activities. I remember when my grandpa, his spouse passed away. It wasn't my grandma. My grandma passed away when my dad was a teenager. So his other wife, when she passed away, Grandma Joe, we called her. Uh-huh. When she passed away, I believe it was for about 2 years, we went out to Pizza Hut with my grandpa almost every week. So that was an additional expense that my grandpa had that wasn't there when my Grandma Joe was around. And so you got to figure for, okay, we're going to fill this time with some other things, probably with our kids, probably with our grandkids, and it's probably going to be going out to eat or doing activities that we weren't doing before. So you got to plan for those additional expenses as well that you might not be thinking of right now. But believe me, when you're in that grieving stage, you're going to want that family time. You're going to want that additional stuff, even if it is paying for more Pizza Hut or paying for more going out to eat or different activities.
Right. And there are a lot of chores that, you know, when there's just one spouse, you have to hire somebody to do. There are a lot of expenses that can go up when one spouse passes away. But there are also a lot of expenses that people think are going to go down, but they don't. They actually stay the same. Think about this. If you've got a mortgage on the house, if one spouse is not there to help you pay for that, the mortgage is going to be the same. The property taxes are going to be the same. More than likely, your utility bills are going to be the same. It costs the same amount to heat or cool that home. So there are so many things that you've got to take into consideration when one spouse passes away, and you've really got to plan for that. We're talking with Grant Dorhout here of Dorhout Retirement Services in Omaha, and we're talking about what happens when one spouse passes away. The next one actually has to do with income taxes. Sometimes income taxes can increase, Grant, I understand, because the filing status changes.
Yeah, it could, because I think of it immediately from provisional income. A lot of people don't know what provisional income is, so you have to look at how much income you have that's going to affect your tax on your Social Security. For instance, if I have someone that, let's say between the husband and wife, if the, let's say their provisional income is, let's say $40,000, they're going to be treated in a certain way in terms of how much tax they're going to pay on their Social Security. If a spouse passes away, and let's say they keep the larger Social Security check, they keep a pension, and they have some income from IRAs that equals that $40,000, well, all of a sudden you have a situation where you went from maybe paying a minor amount of tax on your Social Security to paying taxes on 85% of your Social Security. So immediately the tax filing could change right there just from a Social Security standpoint. But not only that, then all of a sudden your thresholds change. You know, if you look right now in 2024, if we have a married filing joint couple, they're going to stay in the 12% tax bracket until their taxable income exceeds a little over $94,000. It's $94,300. But a single taxpayer is going to be in the 12% bracket only until they hit $47,150. So if we have a couple that's accustomed to $94,300, maybe the surviving spouse doesn't need $94,000, but what if they need $80,000? What if they need $70,000? That's way above the $47,000 that the 12% bracket is for a single filer. So then they would automatically get into that 22% bracket. So factoring for these different changes from a tax standpoint is going to be huge, because your income need, when one spouse passes away, the income need is not going to cut in half. I guarantee you, the county is not going to say, okay, you're going to have half the taxes right now. The utility bills, they're not going to be half. They're going to be the same. You just cited that a little bit ago. But from a tax standpoint as well, it's going to cut in. It could hurt if we don't plan for it properly.
We've been talking about what happens when one spouse passes away with Grant Dorhout here of Dorhout Retirement Services. And to recap a little bit, if you've missed this part of the program, When Social Security benefit is going to be ending, your income may be cut almost in half. Other sources of income, such as pensions and annuities, might end or be reduced. Some household expenses are likely to increase. People often have to be hired to do a lot of chores and activities around the house because the deceased spouse used to do them, or both spouses did together. And finally, income taxes are likely to increase as well, too. If you'd like to talk to Grant about this situation, what happens, and planning for when there's one, when there used to be two, 402-281-0750 is the number to call. No cost and no obligation to talk about your individual situation, 402-281-0750. Grant, before we go today, of course, we many times talk about this Peace in Retirement blueprint that we offer here at Dorhout Retirement Services. So in the final few minutes here of the program, I'd like you to tell the folks listening to us today, what is that Peace and Retirement Blueprint consist of?
Yeah, so we put together five different plans for our clients, and we're very intentional about putting them together. When I look at Peace, I'm saying P-E-A-C-E, and the P is going to be for protected income. Putting together that income plan is imperative to make sure that we can live the life that we want and have the peace in retirement that we're looking for. The E is efficient tax strategies. When we were just going through this last segment, when we were talking about a surviving spouse and how much taxation could impact the surviving spouse, well, are there things that we can do right now in terms of conversions or in terms of getting our money from a tax deferred status to a tax free status that could help the surviving spouse not have such a challenge when we might be gone? How are we going to invest in the market in a responsible way that allows people to have more of a confidence in the retirement that they have, knowing that they're going to be able to cover for inflation, but also that they're not taking on such huge risks that they're nervous about their investments all the time. Accumulation plan is going to be huge as well. Complete control of healthcare. We just hit part of that here a little bit ago as well. Putting together a healthcare plan not only consists of Medicare Parts A, B, C, and D, it's looking far beyond that into what our long-term care potential is and what that expense might be. Because like I said before, healthcare and taxes are going to be two of the biggest expenses we experience in retirement. And then estate. How are we going to get these funds, what we've built up, where we want it to go in the most efficient way? Is it going to go to our kids, our grandkids, a charity, a church? What do we really want this money to go to, and what's the purpose behind it? Setting those estate plans up is absolutely huge as well. So that's the peace in retirement that people experience when we go through all of these plans and we make sure that we're very thorough in going through each of these, making sure that we have every I dotted and every T crossed, making sure that we don't miss something. And we're pretty diligent with making sure we get all of these things figured out before someone moves forward.
And once again, we're offering this Peace and Retirement Blueprint for our loyal listeners at no cost and no obligation. If you'd like to take advantage of this opportunity to get your Peace and Retirement Blueprint, call 402-281-0750. Now, you can do it this weekend. Do it today while you're thinking about it. 402-281-0750. Leave your name, your telephone number. Lisa will get back to you and set you up with an appointment with Grant to talk about your Peace in Retirement Blueprint. Again, no cost, no obligation for this. There is no judgment. Grant will meet you where you are. So why not do this today? Get your Peace in Retirement Blueprint by calling 402-281-0750. It's 402-281-0750. One call could make all the difference. Well, Grant, we're out of time for this week. We got to make room for the next show. For Grant Dorhout, I'm Jeff Shade. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of the Retirement Blueprint right here on News Talk 1290, COIL.
The opinions voiced in the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout are for general information and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Examples provided are hypothetical and for illustrative purposes only. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. Investing in an alternative investment may only be suitable for persons who are able to assume the risk of losing a portion or all of their entire investment. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. The performance of any index is not indicative of the performance of any investment and does not consider the effects of inflation and the fees and expenses associated with investing. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Jeff Shade and show guests are not affiliated with CWM LLC.